With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City News Day. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning, and thank you for turning on the radio this morning for your agriculture news. Today is Monday, November 13th. Coming up in today's show, wildfire assessment study is underway for the North Coast wine industry. Important information there. We will have more on that in just a moment, but we start with Taylor Hillman.
Research entomologist Beth Grafton Caldwell suggests that citrus growers in California might need to adjust their Asian citrus psyllid treatment timings. She said research has shown when the most beneficial times to treat are, and area-wide treatment groups need to be cognizant of that, adding that they're trending towards those beneficial times, however.
What we found and others around the world have found is that the best time to control psyllids is when they're overwintering as adults. It's kind of a weak spot in their life cycle. And then also in the very early spring when the citrus is first putting out its new flush, and in the fall when it does another round of flush. So if you can kind of get in there ahead of the egg laying, you can really knock the population down. And some of the area-wide programs don't quite have that timing down yet, but I'm encouraged that we're working in that direction.
I'm Taylor Hillman for AgNet West Radio Network.
The leader of a U.S. trade mission to India says that nation is trying to make things easier for other countries to do business with India. Gary Crawford has more.
India maintains high tariffs, restrictions, even outright bans on some U.S. agricultural products, but
we're sensing and seeing change.
U.S. Undersecretary of Agriculture Ted McKinney has been leading a big trade mission in India this week. He says one bit of evidence of change is in the latest World Bank rankings about the ease of doing business with various countries, India moving up from 130th to the 100th spot.
And we feel and have heard of that commitment toward an ease in doing business.
And McKinney told reporters during this trade trip,
we've had many discussions on various issues that the U.S. faces with India, and they in exchange shared observations of issues that they have with the U.S. And in every case, it was a straightforward, honest, and direct conversation, very productive, with a repeated desire to move forward more productively and efficiently with trade.
Which could mean more sales of U.S. ag products in the future. Gary Crawford, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
With each passing year, it becomes a larger concern for agriculture producers. How will the industry meet the needs of a rapidly growing worldwide population? One that's expected to surpass 9 billion by 2050. Greater productivity, enhanced quality, and efficiency will all play a role. Darren Wilhite reports in this segment from the Holstein Association USA.
It's a challenge well known in agriculture. All industry sectors will be required to produce more with less in order to meet the needs of the world's growing population. Industry leader John Meyer, who serves as the CEO of the Holstein Association USA, says this represents a great opportunity for the United States. And he's never been more optimistic about the dairy industry and all of animal agriculture.
When you look at it, by 2050, we're going to have to feed a population that will be like adding another China in terms of population to this world. Dairy and meat proteins will continue to be needed, and that the demand for dairy and meat proteins will be greater than they've ever been.
In order to keep pace, American farmers and ranchers will need to improve efficiencies within their operations, stay focused on meeting quality goals, and find ways to capitalize on the growing demand. Meyer believes U.S. registered Holsteins bring much to the conversation.
You think about it a little bit, that if there was only one cow on earth and you could only have one cow, what cow would you choose? You would choose the Holstein cow, because the Holstein cow produces more milk and more dairy proteins than any other breed. And also you have the benefit of the beef and meat that the Holstein cow produces, which is often overlooked.
About 15 to 16% of all prime beef production in the United States comes from Holstein cows, Meyer says. High-quality meat protein, in addition to high-quality milk, allows the breed an advantage in the growing global market.
No breed can do like the Holstein, things that the Holstein breed can do. That's why it's the world's perfect cow.
I'm Darren Wilhite.
Crop surveys from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service will be arriving in farmers' mailboxes soon. Michael Clements has more.
The National Corn Growers Association is urging all crop farmers to take the few minutes to fill out the survey and send it back to USDA NASS. Anthony Bush is a corn farmer from Ohio and a member of NCGA's Corn Board. He says it is important that farmers fill out the confidential surveys.
The number of farmers that have been replying to these surveys has been declining in recent years, and that's pretty bad news for farmers. That's like the insurance game. When too many people get out of the insurance pool, why, that doesn't make the pool very big for rating system, and that's how these NASS surveys work. These are very important in determining how your farm programs are implemented, such as the ARC County ARC program that relies on your yield data for accurate information. And another area that some farmers don't consider is farm appraisals. This data is even used by farm appraisers when they're trying to determine farm values.
Neglecting to complete the surveys and return them to USDA, Bush says, can impact a farmer's bottom line.
It absolutely will impact their bottom line because, you know, producers will be enrolled in a program that it might be relying on inaccurate information and how the results of the program are determined. And so that's very bad news.
Federal law ensures that the crop survey is completely confidential and that your privacy is assured. The surveys only take a few minutes to complete.
They're pretty painless. They're pretty much just fill in the blanks. You know, they don't take very long. The more accurate information that NASS receives, the better information they're able to provide into the formulas that figure out how these programs work.
Learn more about the surveys on the NCGA website.
Any questions you might have, there's a lot of frequently asked questions on there. You could go to your farm service agency also and possibly get some answers. But I just can't stress enough how important it is that farmers take the few minutes to fill this out, because the accuracy of their programs is at stake here.
That website is www.ncga.com/NASS. Michael Clements reporting.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Control weeds from the start with the proven long-lasting power of Chateau Herbicide SW. Chateau controls more than 90 annual broadleaf and grass weeds in orchards and vineyards, including marestail, fleabane, mallow, and more. Unlike the competition, Chateau can be applied to non-bearing orchards and vineyards after planting for early protection. Take control and keep control of tough weeds with Chateau Herbicide. To learn more, talk to your PCA or visit valet.com/chateau. Always read and follow label instructions.
Step right up and gaze upon this miraculous substance I hold in the palm of my hands. This little miracle can feed us, clothe us, give us clean, fresh water, and provide wildlife habitat for nature's critters. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the greatest soil on earth.
Learn more about soil health principles that can turn your soil into a star performer. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today to find out how. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
There's nothing convenient about losing profit. A two-implant program utilizing component TE200 with Tylan as the terminal implant increases feed efficiency by 3.8% over Revelor XS. That's more than a $15 feed savings per animal. And only Elanco's component implants give you the added benefit of Tylan's abscess defense. Contact your Elanco sales rep or visit elanco.us/implants today. The label contains complete use information, including cautions and warnings. Always read, understand, and follow label directions.
We all have challenges, and as an almond grower, you're no exception. From grinding in the summer to planting in the off-season, you're put to the test every year. Let us help you turn those challenges into opportunities. Join Almond Board of California at the Sacramento Convention Center from December 5th through the 7th to learn what new research, technology, and equipment means for your operation. Industry experts want to speak with you. Are you ready to take hold of your next opportunity? Register for the Almond Conference today at almondconference.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air. Your food.
You're going to need our organizational skills, our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination, our honesty, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
and we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's Brian German.
The Wine Business Institute at Sonoma State University is conducting an assessment study of the damage caused to the North Coast wine industry by the wildfires last month. Honor Comfort is the executive in residence for the Wine Business Institute. She noted what prompted the idea to perform an in-depth analysis of the damage.
The first conversation around this study took place on October 11th, as we were seeing information and inaccurate facts and lack of detail around what was happening in the fire region and how it was affecting wineries and vineyards in the region. And because of our resources and the role that we play in the industry, that we had an opportunity to step in and provide an objective, accurate, and fact-based assessment of the impact of the wildfires on the North Coast wine industry.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Well, in today's livestock news, as we told you last week, the World Health Organization, or WHO, did issue recommendations on the use of antibiotics in agriculture. But Dr. Shavonda Jacobs-Young, acting chief scientist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, says the WHO guidelines are not in alignment with U.S. policy and are not supported by sound science. She said the recommendations incorrectly combine disease prevention with growth promotion in animals. She said the WHO previously requested the standards for on-farm uses of antibiotics in animals be updated through an open and science-based process. But before the process could begin, they released these guidelines based on low-quality and, in some cases, very low-quality evidence. Current Food and Drug Administration policy says medically important antibiotics should not be used for promoting growth in animals. FDA allows antibiotic use for treating, controlling, and preventing disease in food production animals under the direction of veterinarians. Jacobs-Young says the WHO guidelines would impose unnecessary constraints on the judgment of the veterinarians that oversee antibiotic use. And she added, USDA agrees that we need more data to assess progress on antimicrobial use and resistance, and we need to continue to develop alternative therapies for the prevention, treatment, and control of diseases in animals. Well, the dairy industry gathered in California recently for the 101st annual meeting of the National Milk Producers Federation. For the last 20 years, the meeting has been held in conjunction with the National Dairy Checkoff. Chris Galen, the National Milk Producers Federation, said there are many topics on the table for the dairy industry right now.
An update on the prospects for the Farm Bill, looking ahead to the tax reform bill, which came out while we were there in California, and then other issues we're working on, the NAFTA talks as an example, of the mislabeling of imitation dairy products. All those things were issues that we gave an update on to our members.
And in regard to NAFTA, Galen said the positive is that the talks continue, but the negative is that no real progress has been made.
How long will the U.S. continue to plug away at this? Will there also be an effort by the Trump administration to throw in the towel on not just the NAFTA talks, but the agreement itself? It's too soon to say that.
And on the Farm Bill front, Galen said there are some short-term goals that can be accomplished while keeping in mind the long-term objectives of the bill.
They're talking about the next Farm Bill. There's some additional changes in how the Dairy Margin Protection Program calculates the feed cost element of the margin. That needs to be addressed by Congress, as well as a few other things that we've suggested. But the bottom line is that none of these things will happen unless Congress steps in. We can't rely on USDA to do these things. They don't really have the authority. So we really need Congress to appropriate some additional money in the short term as well as in the next Farm Bill.
Again, that was Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Mention Louisiana and most people think of New Orleans. Not many are aware of how heavy Louisiana is into agriculture. A variety of crops, some common, some not. Sugarcane. Most Americans have never seen a stalk of sugarcane. And yes, it's what sugar's made from. Louisiana grows more sugarcane than any other state. And I knew that Louisiana was among the top five states that produce pecans. In fact, it's where the nut was started. Here's one I didn't know. In Louisiana, they produce an oil used in specialty cooking made from pecans. I'm guessing it has Cajun roots, but they produce 60,000 to 70,000 bottles a year. Rice is another crop common to Louisiana. And then there's cotton, corn, and vegetables, crops common in other states. So New Orleans may draw the tourists, but agriculture is big. And that's AgriView for today. Everett Griner, AgNet West.
We go out to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Annual Convention, which was held in Kansas City, Missouri last week. I attended the event as a member of the NAFB Board of Directors, and that is where we get today's interview.
Name and your title and your company, please.
Okay, Batrin Jaren, Senior Product Manager for Compass Minerals.
All right, let's start off talking Compass Minerals and citrus. What should citrus growers be looking for, and what are some of the products that you offer?
Okay, well, Compass Minerals traditionally has been one of the leading, or the leading producer in the country of potassium sulfate. So some of our citrus growers might have seen our product that way. We acquired a company out of Brazil that specializes in water-soluble fertilizers that are used in that citrus industry down in Brazil, as in other specialty crops. We are bringing those chemistries up to the States, and we'll be offering, or are offering them now, in Florida. These products are a combination of NPK with micros, some phosphate products, and some foliar applied products for the citrus grower.
Obviously, Florida citrus facing a lot of issues, a lot of tree health issues. What is the importance of doing everything you can to keep your tree as healthy as possible?
So as you know, with the situation of the trees, nutrition has been one that has really been emphasized, how the plants going, or the citrus going under stress, right, from the HOB and all that.
Right.
A healthier tree, well fed, tolerates the pressure of the disease and therefore can give you an economic yield. So balanced nutrition, understanding micronutrients, understanding when to use them has got even more sensitive. And you've seen that from all the cocktails and different things that are being offered to farmers. What has happened is that you're understanding better the true nutrition of the crop, the true nutrition of the tree. You know, we've been very good at giving it the right amount of water, the right amount of nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, excellent crop protection against pest diseases. So the nutrition part was kind of lagging. That disease forced us to understand better the nutrition of the crop. And so now people are actually aware of that and understanding how to use all the nutrients in different combinations at the right time, right place, and right form.
So we have mentioned Florida citrus. Is this also approved for citrus in California?
Yes. Though every area is different, and the demand of one nutrient or the other might vary, the balanced nutrition is the concept is the same. You know, we need to put them all in perspective and understand how each nutrient fits. We're very good at managing the macro side of it, and I've been very good. Just need to complement with the micronutrients and maybe other unique nutrients that are coming online, like nickel, cobalt, silicon. You know, these other, some of them are still essential nutrients, but others are considered non-essential nutrients. They seem to have roles in helping the crop and the plant mitigate that biotic or that stress from disease and things like that.
And like you stated, it's important to have your trees as strong and healthy as possible.
Correct. And therefore, you're really approaching from a nutritional standpoint. You're making the crop get the needs, you know, the nutrients, the essential minerals it needs so it can handle the environment. And, you know, the environment has changed, and it's the psyllid, you know, the pressure from the psyllid, and that is a new factor that the environment has brought. But good nutrition can help, you know, tolerate it, not control it, not solve it, just tolerate it.
Right, because when you're facing that stress from the psyllid and possibly from the Wanglong Ming, then yeah. You want to have your tree as strong as possible to face that.
Yeah, very similar for us when cold flu season comes.
Right.
You know, good nutrition, and okay, we do have a vaccine, or we right. But if you are healthy, you're eating your vitamin C, zinc, and all that, your tolerance of getting a cold or flu is much less, you know, the chance. So, yeah.
All right. Once again, we are here at Compass Minerals at the NAFB convention in Kansas City, Missouri, talking trade talk, talking about citrus. Do you want to hit on a couple other crops for California? We've got some strawberries.
Absolutely. Strawberries, you know, some of the leafy vegetables. Our actually Compass Minerals' number one crop are the almonds because they're big consumers of our potassium. That's our branded potassium sulfate. You know, so it's been a staple of the company, that California nut industry. And some of the products we're bringing in, I mean, are definitely complementary and will be being applied and used in blueberries, strawberries, lettuce, peppers, ornamentals, table grapes, wine grapes, you know, all these specialty crops that really, you know, growers have a very fine-tuned nutrition program for.
If there, from what I was just hearing, there was a product that was just approved today, I think it went out. Is that relevant for our markets?
It's a product line.
Okay.
So it's 17 products, and they were launched today. As a matter of fact, our first sale was in California, in Santa Maria. And there are NPK mixed blends with micronutrients for water salt, for fertigation or foliar. We have EDTAs. For the micronutrients, and we also have some foliar products like high potassium, high, you know, zinc, manganese, iron micronutrient, and it's kind of a combination of like what we call an integrated product line for nutrition. So growers can actually, and look at our portfolio and see what fits where, in their program.
All right, and if somebody would like more information, is there a website they should head to?
Yes, it's called proaquanutrients.com, or also visit compassminerals.com, and they can follow links into it.
Perfect. All right, thank you for your time today.
All right, thank you.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
Control weeds from the start with the proven long-lasting power of Chateau Herbicide SW. Chateau controls more than 90 annual broadleaf and grass weeds in orchards and vineyards, including marestail, fleabane, mallow, and more. Unlike the competition, Chateau can be applied to non-bearing orchards and vineyards after planting for early protection. Take control and keep control of tough weeds with Chateau Herbicide. To learn more, talk to your PCA or visit valet.com/chateau. Always read and follow label instructions.
Step right up and gaze upon this miraculous substance I hold in the palm of my hands. This little miracle can feed us, clothe us, give us clean, fresh water, and provide wildlife habitat for nature's critters. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the greatest soil on earth.
Learn more about soil health principles that can turn your soil into a star performer. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today to find out how. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
There's nothing convenient about losing profit. A two-implant program utilizing component TE200 with Tylan as the terminal implant increases feed efficiency by 3.8% over Revelor XS. That's more than a $15 feed savings per animal. And only Elanco's component implants give you the added benefit of Tylan's abscess defense. Contact your Elanco sales rep or visit elanco.us/implants today. The label contains complete use information, including cautions and warnings. Always read, understand, and follow label directions.
We all have challenges, and as an almond grower, you're no exception. From grinding in the summer to planting in the off-season, you're put to the test every year. Let us help you turn those challenges into opportunities. Join Almond Board of California at the Sacramento Convention Center from December 5th through the 7th to learn what new research, technology, and equipment means for your operation. Industry experts want to speak with you. Are you ready to take hold of your next opportunity? Register for the Almond Conference today at almondconference.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air. Your food.
You're going to need our organizational skills, our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination, our honesty, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
AgNet West Radio Network.
The House Budget Committee has voted 22-14 along party lines.
Your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. AgNet West's team of Sabrina Hill.
As crews continue to fight the Detweiler fire in Mariposa County.
Brian German.
Weedy rice has been a growing concern for California farmers.
And myself, Taylor Hillman. Join us every day to stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from AgNet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. We have for you now another interview from the NAFB Annual Convention.
David Palmer, Senior Product Manager for Implements for Kubota Tractor.
All right, we are here at the NAFB Trade Talk in Kansas City, Missouri. First off, thank you for coming and supporting Farm Broadcasting. We always appreciate that. There are a couple of new things happening with Kubota that I want to talk to you about. What is one of the things that you're real excited about?
Well, it's great to be here, Sabina, at the Trade Talk. Always enjoy coming here each year. But one of the things we're very excited about here at Kubota this year was this was the launch of our new 5x6 baler. I understand in a lot of your markets, you're in a 4x5 market, but you also have a few big producers that like to have the 5-foot wide bales they're producing for their own use and prefer the 5-foot bale. So we're very excited about this product. It was a complete new product development from the ground up for Kubota, but it also rounds out our round baler product line. So we're very excited about that, and you know, your part of the world has really embraced the Kubota hay tools. Every year we just continue to grow. Our dealers have really supported the product very, very well, and the customers have really stepped up and have just seen what these products can do for them as far as performance, the quality of product that they're getting out of it, and bringing efficiency into their own operations. So, we're very excited about the new products.
I'm going to ask you a question that I'm not sure if you can answer or not, but you were talking about how this was developed and really keeping producers in mind. How long does it take to really go from start to finish with coming up with this great new piece of farm machinery?
Well, it was in 2013 when Kubota acquired the Kverlin Group. And when we had our first meeting that year with the Baylor Marketing Group over there, we said at that time that we needed to establish and develop a 5x6 baler. And we actually started the project in 2013. So it takes a number of years from the time that we start the design concept. Then from the design, we have to take it into the market. We have to make sure, especially here in the U.S., as big as the U.S. is, we have such a diversity of types of crops that have to be, that the baler's going to have to be able to bale. So there's a tremendous amount of testing going on. And then you can think to our neighbors to the north, we have to include the Canadian market and all the different market segments up there. So yeah, it takes about 4 years to bring a product, maybe five, to the marketplace.
You know, and I like that you mentioned the vast array of types of products or crops that we have all over the nation. Sometimes I think our specialty markets tend to get forgotten a little bit because we're not the great big farmlands of the Midwest or that type of thing, but you really take that into consideration.
Oh, absolutely. You know, believe it or not, one of our biggest markets in your area is peanut hay. And our balers are excellent balers for the peanut hay. They have the ability to have a long life. The sheet metal, the design of them is very heavy. That's a very it's a very harsh environment to be bailing in it. But our balers have gone and proven their performance and their capabilities. You know, when you talk, when you tell a customer in the Midwest that we bale peanut hay, they kind of look at you like, well, what are you talking about? So it is. We go from peanut hay, we get into other areas where we're talking about baling fodder. We get into a lot of silage. I mean, again, into the South, the silage market is growing quite rapidly. So all of our balers, all of our Kubota hay balers are silage capable. You don't have to buy a specific silage baler. So again, it's just another way that as a Kubota customer, you can have a piece of equipment that's going to be able to give you the performance, whatever you want to do with it.
Right. Was there something else that you wanted to talk about today, another product?
Yeah, we're just launching this year our new Kubota wheel rakes. As you know, a couple of years ago, we acquired the Great Plains and Land Pride Group, has become part of the Kubota family now. So they're going to be producing a new wheel rake for us here for our customers. It's something that our customers and our dealers have asked us for. Again, it helps to round out our product mix, giving our dealers or our customers a one-stop shop at a dealer. So a dealer has everything that a customer would need for his hay and forage business.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking some time to talk with us today. And also, thank you for being a supporter of Trade Talk. It's always nice to see people supporting Farm Broadcasting.
Oh, thank you very much. Again, it's always a wonderful time to be here.
For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.